This morning we welcome Darrell Chen, thank you, as our speaker today. Darrell has served in public leadership positions since 1991 when she was appointed director of the Center for Management Communication at the SASIN Graduate Institute Business Administration in Bangkok, Thailand. Most recently, Darrell served as executive director of performance and quality improvement for the Tennessee Department of Children's Services and as executive director of the Tennessee Center for Child Welfare at Middle Tennessee State University. Darrell is the proud mother of five and grandmother of three, and she is a Southerner born and bred. Except for the 17 years she lived in Thailand with her late husband, Darrell has lived in Nashville, Tennessee since she was 11 years old. She has served her community and her family in many different capacities and is proud and grateful to be a member of UUFM. Darrell's topic today is You Cannot Speak of Oceans to Well Frogs, the Immigrant Experience. Let's welcome our speaker, Darrell.
Good morning. In 1981, I left Nashville, Tennessee for Bangkok, Thailand. I had never been there before. I had, in fact, only been outside of the southern United States one time in my life. And that was to go to the foreign country of California. Although I was married to a Thai, had studied East Asian religions and philosophies, and had read everything I could get my hands on about Thailand, nothing could have adequately prepared me for the reality of Bangkok. And I was completely unprepared for life as an immigrant. There's an old Chinese saying, you cannot speak of oceans to well frogs, creatures of a narrower sphere. Well, I was a well frog. I had discovered ocean, and I was terrified. Compared to Charleston, South Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee, the two cities, actually at that time, probably town was a better word to describe them, where I had spent my life up to that point, Bangkok was huge, crisscrossed with 5 and 6 lane highways, filled to the brim with all manner of motorcycles and automobiles. Everything was so different. The buildings, the smells, the weather, the trees, the roads, and the neighborhood stores. Row upon row, lane upon lane of almost identical shop houses. I couldn't tell one block from another. I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't read the papers or the street signs. I didn't know where anything was or how to get to anywhere. And even if I had managed to figure that out, I didn't really have anywhere to go. I didn't know anyone besides my husband and my son and my husband's family, whom I was just getting to know. When I stepped outside of my parents-in-law's gated compound, I felt lost, helpless, and more vulnerable than I had ever felt in my life. I was scared, I was homesick, I was miserable. This is an excerpt from my journal, dated November 4th, 1981. I had been in Thailand 1 week. Thailand at last. You'd think I'd have realized by now that reality never quite measures up to dreams. Rather than a beautiful land of smiling people and golden temples, just pick up a book on Thailand, okay, that's what you see. I find a land of squalor, millions of people crammed together, millions of people crammed together in one dirty city with a few golden specks. Like a few precious gems in a mass of black ore, the temples here jut out amidst the grime-ridden, swamp-smelling, people-crowded buildings. It is hot, humid, sticky, and wet here. The air is stagnant and stifling. I don't know whether I can survive. It's hard to believe that that the young woman who wrote those words, with tears streaming down her face, because I was really crying at the time, ended up spending the next 17 years of her life in that dirty city. and loving every moment of at least 16 years of that time. But then I was a voluntary immigrant to Thailand, and I was married to a citizen in good standing from a well-to-do family who made it their mission in life to help me assimilate. I was well-loved and well-supported in my transition from life in America to life in Thailand, and thus I experienced success beyond anything I could have imagined on that sad day in November 1981. In 1998, following the death of my husband, I repatriated to the U.S., and even though I was returning home, I soon realized that I was a well frog no more. I had experienced ocean and spent my first year back home trying in vain to relate that experience to life here and to share that experience in meaningful ways with others. For the first time, the words of that old Chinese proverb truly lived for me. You cannot speak of oceans to well frogs, creatures of a narrower sphere. Most of those with whom I interacted at that time on a daily basis had never been beyond the boundaries of Tennessee. Fewer still had been outside of the South, and none had been outside of the U.S. I had never felt so completely alone, and so I went in search of others who had experiences similar to my own. I found old Thai friends and enjoyed their company in a way I had not been able to before. We shared an understanding, a way of seeing the world, shaped by our common expatriate experiences that was different from those around us. I also volunteered to teach English as a second language, and in so doing, met Laotians, Bosnians, Vietnamese, Kurds, Russians, Egyptians, Somalis, Ethiopians, and Hispanics, each very different from the other and from me, but all of us sharing the same experience of profound loneliness, that feeling of being on the outside looking in that is common among expatriates, among immigrants everywhere. Many of those with whom I worked didn't really want to be here. They were all deeply grateful to be here, but most really wanted to be back home. Political or economic factors had forced most of them to seek refuge here. Many had held professional positions in their home countries. I met doctors, lawyers, pilots, and teachers. Well-educated, intelligent people who simply did not speak English well enough to get licensed in the U.S. and so had no choice but to work at grunt jobs in factories for temporary services, usually with very few benefits. And they were grateful for the jobs. Not a single person ever complained about the work they did. But they did share their feelings of powerlessness, of voicelessness, of invisibility. Even with their own children, who were growing up in and becoming part of a culture that was alien to them and often unwelcoming. I remember, for example, Kata and Zdenko, a Bosnian couple with two children who were settled in South Nashville. Zdenko had been an accountant for an American interest in Bosnia, and Kata had been a teacher. They watched as their home and their city was destroyed by bombs and hid in fear of their lives until help came. Both had jobs at factories. They were taking English classes whenever they could so that they could regain the control of their family that they had had to cede to their sons, who had learned the language and the culture much faster and thus had negotiated for their parents the confusing and sometimes dangerous rapids of the American way of doing things. I remember Chico, a member of the greatly feared Brown Pride Gang. He was involved with the Juvenile Justice Pretrial Diversion Program in Davidson County when I met him and his mother. He was an amazing artist and a gentle soul, and he loved his mother with all of his heart. Chico's mother, who was a widow, had come to the U.S. with Chico under very dangerous circumstances in search of work to help support her extended family in Mexico, who were living in extreme poverty. By the time I met her, She had managed to find a sponsor and had been miraculously successful in getting a work visa through a local, very large hotel. She was working actually two jobs when I met her, and she was hoping to earn enough to be able to truly, substantively help her family in Mexico and to make her son proud of her and proud to be Mexican. She believed that he was in a gang because he was ashamed of her and ashamed of who he was. And she was so afraid of losing him. Chico told me that he was in a gang because it was the only way anyone would see him or hear him, the only way anyone would pay attention to him. It was, he told me, the only way he felt he could protect his mother. And he felt personally responsible for his mother's safety. I remember Wisa, the 9-year-old Laotian girl whose parents were in my English class. Wisa didn't want me to call her Wisa. She told me quite firmly when I first met her that her name was Visa, and made sure that I understood that Visa was an American name. Her parents told me that she refused to speak Laotian to them. They were very sad, but they were taking English classes so that their daughter would feel less ashamed of them. And they wanted me to teach them all about American culture. They were grateful that I understood their culture and that I understood how they felt. They told me that they hadn't met any other Americans like me in Nashville. The adults in each of these situations, and so many, many more like them, are humble, kind, generous folks who just work really, really hard and try their very best to do what they're supposed to do to the extent that they can figure that out all by themselves. For unlike my situation in Thailand, about which I lamented so mightily during my first year there, these people have no loving, supportive family here to help them adjust. They have themselves. They have each other. And for many, that is all they have. The more fortunate among them, the lucky few, did have the early assistance of organizations such as Catholic Charities. Kata and Zdenko are an example of a couple who had the assistance of Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities found them a place to live, gave them basic English lessons and American Culture 101 classes, helped them get a job, showed them where to catch the bus, got their kids set up in school, got them access to basic social services for food and medical care, and then, at the end of 3 months, left them on their own to figure everything else out. And everything else is a heck of a lot when you don't know the culture, you don't know the rules, you barely speak the language, and people don't know and don't really seem to care about who you are or what you've experienced or how you're feeling about it all. According to the U.S. Census, between 2000 and 2010, the foreign-born population in Tennessee changed from 159,000 to 288,993, representing a change of almost 82%. Almost 52% of these immigrants entered Tennessee in 2000 or later. In 2010, 4.5% of Tennessee's total population were immigrants, compared to 2.8% in 2000 and 1.2% in 1990. Of the total foreign-born population in Tennessee in 2010, 9.5% were from Africa, about 27% were from Asia, 11% from Europe, 49% from Latin America, 2.3% from Northern America, and 0.6% from Oceania. Along with the increase in immigrants, the number of people and groups and initiatives aimed at ridding the state of immigrants, or at least staunching the flow, has also been on the rise. The Refugee Resettlement Watch is just one among these. A recent blog on their website shared the following news. Job recruiting firms helped Catholic Charities in Nashville recently to train refugees in how to find jobs. However, you have to wonder if Catholic Charities is putting the same effort into helping Americans find work. Catholic Charities is the federal government's refugee contractor for Tennessee. For new readers, that means that the religious organization is paid by the taxpayer for its work in resettling refugees in Nashville. As a result of Catholic Charities' diligence, Nashville's refugee population is growing exponentially, and the city has become known as the Kurdish capital of the U.S. With that distinction has come increased crime from Kurdish criminal gangs. Nashville also recently made news by being the primary location for the shocking documentary, Losing Our Sons, about the growth of Islamic recruitment in America. I saw the trailer for that, and it focuses on Memphis and Nashville as the hotbed for Islamist recruitment, jihadist recruitment. And by the way, how is that big Somali sex trafficking case in Nashville doing? But never mind all that. We got to get those refugees jobs. Look at the bright side. Even if Americans don't have jobs, if Catholic Charities gets refugees jobs, some may have less time for gang violence, jihad, or sex. Unfortunately, this is not the rambling of a random Westboro church-type group. The sentiments expressed here, as I think most of us know, reflect the sentiments of many in our state. Indeed, during our last legislative session, a number of Arizona copycat bills were introduced. They've been tabled. They were awaiting the Supreme Court's ruling on the Show Me Your Papers provision of Arizona's anti-immigration law. The expectation is that these bills will be reintroduced with greater vigor in the upcoming legislative session, now that the Supreme Court has upheld the provision in Arizona. Many people in our state are frightened of immigrants. Well, frogs that they are, they just don't get ocean, and some are not interested in ever getting it. Fortunately, the number of groups working on behalf of immigrants and refugees in Tennessee has also risen. And the immigrants and refugees themselves have formed a coalition. This coalition is the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. This is a statewide immigrant and refugee-led collaboration whose mission is to empower immigrants and refugees throughout Tennessee to develop a unified voice, defend their rights, and create an atmosphere in which they are recognized as positive contributors to the state. More information about the coalition and ways to support immigrant and refugee rights in Tennessee is available on their website at www.10immigrant.org. They also have a Facebook presence. I encourage you to explore these resources. I also encourage you to join the coalition's listserv to get information and action alerts on ways in which you can show your support of these families who need to know that as citizens of Tennessee, and concerned members of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Murfreesboro, we understand and we care about what happens to them. Thank you very much.